Howdy, folks. This is Bob Lee with Savings Society. What if there's a way you could buy a gas card or a grocery gift card for $25 and get a second $25 card for free? Yes, folks, free. Would that interest you? Give us a call here at Savings Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, special in-studio guest co-host Krista. We're going to call you Krista.
Carisha or Krista?
No, Krista
Schmidt.
Okay,
good.
And Gary Severs, our old friend, and not old. I didn't mean old.
Well, you're right.
He's
no,
only 29.
It's not. You look great. Come on. You
for
look
a guy my age, yes.
Yes, but you look like 40.
Thank you.
See? There you go. And you sound even younger.
And how much of a loan was it that you needed, Dave?
I take credit cards, actually. That's, credit cards, plastic. Okay. And anyway, we have such a great guest today, one of my favorites that have been on Breakthrough Thinking. And a hearty congratulations to Kevin Hartke for winning the Chandler City Council seat. Welcome, Kevin.
It is so good to be here. This is a studio of compliments this afternoon.
Yes, it is. And it's so nice that you won. And, of course, it was a tough battle. You didn't win by a whole, maybe 800, 1,000 votes, maybe?
1,700 at the final count. Yeah.
Well, but a win is a win.
That's the way I look at it.
So tell us how you felt when that final message came over and you heard that you won.
It was extremely anticlimactic because I had a bunch of friends. We got together at Floridino's restaurant in Chandler and were there. And it was so close that night that we never really knew. And when you got on the Maricopa site, they had some problems that night. And so really it took about 2 weeks afterwards for this to finally sit in, although the trend was obvious. But so when the final huzzah came in, we already knew the results, but then we could say, okay, it's official. Turn the lights off.
Say that, and you found out that night?
Well, we found out 2 weeks later.
Oh,
wow.
2 weeks later you
yes.
did. So that you're on pins and needles maybe for a couple of weeks.
Well, I made frequent trips to the county's website about every day to see if the numbers had changed.
And did you bump into Donna Wallace there? Was she making frequent trips too?
Well, this was just the website. So
I'm sure
Donna was, yes. And we chatted, I think, just about 2 weeks afterwards, and she called me and congratulated me.
That's
very
nice.
Cordial and magnanimous of her.
Well, that's good. I was wondering behind the scenes what happens with politicians here. Gary, have
just a recent 50th anniversary of the first Nixon-Kennedy debate, and you know they called it. I think it was 7 in the morning for Kennedy, based on him winning California, and when they counted the absentees, Nixon won California. So it was based on a different state. So wow. Kevin was being very safe until they had the actual count.
I'll say that's good. Well, how about if you were, you know, what year 2000 when? That lasted, what, a couple months?
Into December, yeah.
Yeah, when Florida, they didn't know who won.
We have no more Chads because of Florida. We're glad of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it?
That was.
So how did that end? The Supreme Court said the game has ended,
that's right?
Right.
That's
the time
right.
has
yeah.
run out. That
pretty much.
Well, that's a whole different topic we'll talk about someday, whether was that right? Was it wrong? I don't know, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, Kevin, it's a pleasure to have you in studio. When do you take office, or have you already?
Well, I want to invite you to join the swearing-in ceremony on January 13th. It'll be at the new City Hall Council Chambers. So my fellow Chandler resident, come
on out. I will be there.
Come on out.
I will go.
Wow, that would
I
be good.
I live there.
You live there. Now, yes. Can you be a non-Chandler resident and still go?
Oh, sure.
I'll sneak in.
Don't do any door checks.
All right. And Gary, are you Chandler?
No, I'm in Mesa, but
that's
I originally came from Chicago, so I probably voted several times the election.
Hey, no, none of that.
Yeah, none of that. Back to Chicago for you. Yeah. Actually, who's going to be the new mayor of Chicago?
Oh, well, there's 12 candidates, but Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's challenging his legitimacy of residency there, but I don't think that's going to fly.
And the latest candidate was the former Senator Carol Moseley Braun, so now I think we got 12.
I thought it was the ex-governor of Illinois. What's his name?
Blagojevich?
Yeah. Isn't he coming back?
He probably will try, yes.
I'll say that three times.
Yeah. Well, what is happening with that guy?
Oh, he's trying to do a reality TV show, and he and Levi Johnson are going to do The Odd Couple in Chicago. So.
Oh, yeah. And then Sarah Palin has her own reality show.
That's right.
Pretty interesting stuff.
He was on
stuff.
That one Get Fired show or whatever
That's
that was.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Really? Get Fired?
With who's the realtor or the...
Donald Trump?
Yeah, Trump's show.
Yeah.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're fired.
That. That is too funny. I've seen that show. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's right.
With Joan Rivers, she won. I don't know why. How did she win? But anyway, let's get to some of your philosophy. We'll talk a little bit maybe about what you're going to do for Chandler, and then we'll go into some really interesting things, maybe Cyber Monday, Black Friday, you know, what you feel about that, how you feel about that, I should say. And then some other very interesting things that I think people need to talk about, ambition versus aspiration. I know you have some thoughts on that. But tell us, what's the first thing you're going to do in Chandler or for Chandler?
Well, one of our big issues coming up is we need a new city manager. So I've actually got an exec session briefing coming up next week, and we're going to go through the process. Our city manager retired, and a city manager in a city like Chandler and even Phoenix, they're really the one that is the top employee. And council is their boss, and we also set priorities, we set policy, but he's the one who's head of the staff, and we will be looking to hire a new one here.
Well, that's interesting. So is it a whole process, taking applications, and obviously you're going to have to look at their references and qualifications?
Sure. We'll hire a consultant that will work through the process and kind of weed things out. Chandler's it's a very desirable city. We've got top bond rating because of our financial practices, and across the country, that's a desirable place to be right now.
It is, and that was one of the fastest-growing cities, wasn't it, in this area?
We had our day of being one of the fastest-growing cities. That was we're pretty much at a trickle right now as the rest of Arizona.
Oh, that, yeah, you know, that's a good point. And Krista, how do you like Chandler?
I love it. I love it. It's just so pretty. It's out, you know, a little bit back, so we don't have the big city feel, but it's still city.
How about the Chandler Mall?
It's a good mall. It's a good mall. I've been there a few times.
I think it's a great mall. Come on, let's get enthusiastic about
it. I thought
Chandler
D meant Dillard's when you drove, and R was Robinson's May.
You must have got in trouble for shopping too much there at one time or something. Right?
I do. I love Chandler. I think it's a great community. It's a great place for families.
Well, is that right? The family
I've
environment?
I've got four incredible kids, three still around, and Chandler's been a fantastic city to raise them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like Chandler, too. I go to Brunchies every Friday morning for breakfast.
What's Brunchies?
Brunchies is where we have a Bible study, and it's a great one.
Oh, wow. Is it good food?
It's fantastic food. That's where Gary and I connect usually weekly.
Oh, that's sort of nice. Brunchies, I like that. It's a cute name.
It is.
Is it a
right
just,
in downtown Chandler?
Is it a chain or just?
It's owned by Serrano's.
Yeah.
Here, Dave, just for you, I brought you a
gift certificate.
Christmas.
Oh,
I brought you a Christmas card.
Yeah.
And on the front, we have Chandler's tumbleweed tree.
I love it.
That my daughter did that rendition.
Oh,
so.
Really?
So we're having a big festival coming up right across from Brunchies.
Oh, that is so
coming up
cool.
this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This weekend?
Oh,
it's
I'm
a
gonna
great
be out
event.
Of town.
I'll
Dave,
go for
you.
You.
If you can tear yourself away from the wildflower food, maybe you can go to good Brunchies.
I do go to wildflower.
Chandler's
a lot.
Got a wildflower too, don't
we? Yes, we do.
Chandler Fashion Mall.
Really? Is that a good one?
Your
yeah.
favorite mall.
Oh. Yeah, it's
yeah,
right
that
downstairs.
Is, I really do like that mall.
Yeah.
It's an excellent mall.
It
and
is.
I, last time we talked about it, I went to Harkins Theaters all the time there.
Excellent.
Which is a pretty good theater. Well, I want to get Dan Harkins on.
I'll see if...
Do you know him?
He may remember me. This is a long...
Before, oh,
you and I, before you and I were born, I met him, so...
Really?
Yes.
I'm not that young.
How'd you meet him before you were born?
Well, his mom.
He would do a lot of things for Scottsdale Community College, you know, to be helpful to the community.
Oh,
he'd
okay.
come out and give speeches to film classes that I was teaching. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sort of cool. Yeah, that'd be great to get him.
And then
on.
Scottsdale College started a film festival 30 years ago, and of course, he's gone on to bigger and better things since then.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, he's done very well. He's in other states right now.
Yes.
But primarily, I think, in Arizona. So let's talk about Cyber Monday, Black Friday. Nice for the economic surge. But I know you have some special thoughts about that. Why don't we talk about that, have a little discussion, what that means to you?
Well, obviously, someone serving in government, I'm excited that people are spending money. And
absolutely.
People are coming out of the recession, and they're deciding that it's a safer climate. I put on my other hat as someone who works with people and in the midst of despair, and I read this phrase the other day that I liked. Is it just recession fatigue that people are just saying, I've had enough recession, I'm going to spend money whether I can afford it or not?
Oh.
And which can create a whole nother level of problems. I'm glad that they're spending, but at the same time, I do question is this just an example of fatigue, and will this cause more problems for people who are overindulging?
And what I would think...
Well, if it does,
yeah.
Dave is a CPA, and he used to work for
go.
The IRS, so you can just...
Actually, State of California, as a government auditor. True.
I'll counsel them, and you can straighten out their books.
Yeah, there we go. But, you know, I'm always wondering why people do spend beyond their means. What's the motivation behind the spending? A way of looking outward rather than inward to distract them from the pain that's going on in their life? Would you say that's part of it?
You know, that's easily part of it. And I think we have such a advertised country here that, I mean, there's almost the sense of, well, I have a right to a new flat screen TV or everyone else is doing it. Why aren't I? And I'll figure out a way to pay for it later if I can't now.
But
so that consumer mentality and right mentality.
You know, and I also think it makes things so much more complex. I mean, it seems to me, as a neurolinguistic programmer, you know, that's a lot of psychology for the listeners. Tony Robbins is probably the most well-known of the NLP practitioners. But it seems to me is that people make their life so complex, and I think it's because of a distraction. I think if people go inward and really find joy first rather than having to spend something to get joy, it'll never work. You will never get happiness, security, joy from outer circumstances because it's out of sequence. It's like buy this car and I'll be happy. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well,
am I right?
What's that famous quote from the Rockefellers? Mr. Rockefeller, when will you be satisfied with your amount of money? He says, when I get $1 more.
See, that's sad. Insatiable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
And I hear the same, I mean, amongst pastors, one person more in your church. I mean, if there's not a sense of life is good today, and I'm willing to do whatever, but life is great today, and I have a peace that passes understanding. A thing or an item won't put it in there either.
Well, I totally agree, and really, and a lot of people may not understand how to do this. I know there's some NLP techniques, but also, you know, spiritual concepts can help, obviously. But isn't happiness really a choice?
I think so. I think what we base it on perhaps is based upon our worldview and our values, but it is a choice. I like a poem someone told me a long time ago. Two men looked through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. And it's a choice of what do we look at.
You know, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Kevin Hartke, who recently got elected to the Chandler City Council.
And I have a few comments on one of my favorite shows. Remember Kung Fu? And I'll describe that on how that guy, David Carradine, I guess it was, or Keith Carradine, which one? David or Keith? How he made a choice, and we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Saving Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill? Give us a call here at Saving Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, with in studio guest co-host Gary Sievers, Krista Schmidt, and our special guest Kevin Hartke, who just won the Chandler City Council seat. That's got to be real exciting.
It really is. It's a real, I consider it a sacred trust and an honor. I mean, because people want me to help our city, and I don't take that lightly.
I think that's excellent. That's great qualities and a great example of leading. Walking your talk. A lot of people just talk, but you actually walk your talk with your heart and your soul, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, the what was it called? Let's see. David Carradine, we said. Kung Fu. So here it was. You remember Kung Fu. Krista, you're probably a little too young for that.
I don't remember. I know Kung Fu Panda.
No, that was Panda Express. We love black pepper chicken. That's what I get at Panda Express. But anyway, so here they were. They always was, the towns were always catching David Carradine, the Kung Fu guy, for I don't even know why, actually. He never did anything wrong, I don't think. But he was sort of mistreated. So they put him in this igloo in the desert. So it was like a prison. But it's really small, little igloo, and it was hot, probably 180 degrees in there. And they threw him in with this other guy that actually did steal stuff, and so he's a criminal. So they were both sitting there. One was fidgety, of course. It wasn't David Carradine. And there's David Carradine, very calm and relaxed in the lotus position. And he looks over to the criminal guy that was really doing bad stuff. And the criminal guy said, Dave Carradine, how can you just sit there relaxed? And he said, my friend, you're not in a prison. The prison is within you.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. Good one. Was that?
Yes.
Oh,
that's deep.
I always remember that from a little kid. And it just shows what we're talking about. It's a happiness, calmness, peace is from within. Am I right?
Yeah.
So how does that work? How do you teach people that? Now, you have your own congregation as a pastor.
I do, in Chandler.
So how does that work? How do you... I'm sure you've had talks about that concept with people.
Well, one way he does it, he invites them to brunchies to the Bible study and buys them breakfast. That creates happiness.
Oh, yes. I bought Gary breakfast before. I have done that.
Really?
It created a lot of happiness.
Well, if you want breakfast, call in at... No, I'm just kidding. No, I won't say that.
First-timers, I'll take care of you.
Oh, that's sort of nice. But is that what you talk about? I mean, there's certain biblical verses that really resonate with these concepts?
You know, there really is. Philippians chapter 4, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, if there is anything worthy of nobility or pursuit, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Well, that makes sense. But why is society opposite? My opinion is they set up criteria for happiness. It's a cultural belief here, maybe other countries too, but certainly in America. And, of course, America is still, the greatest place around, however. But the beliefs, I think, through media, through advertising, set up a certain criteria, like have more and you'll be happier. And I don't see other advertisers saying, peace is within very often.
Unless they're selling something else. So.
Yeah. But, that's unfortunate. And does that, as a pastor, does that drive you sort of nutty? Does that bother you? When you see society sort of going against what you're trying to preach?
Well, it's the terrain in which we live, and it's what you deal with and what you live with all the time, and it just becomes the platform that you do what you do.
Yeah, and I don't know. Gary, what's your
Dave,
opinion?
The psychology of comedy is you make somebody the butt of the joke and you make the listener feel superior. And that's why bad news sells. That makes the person reading the bad news feel superior. And good news, when they put good news in newspapers, it doesn't sell because it tends to make you inferior. Now, when you go to church and you understand God, you're happy when people succeed. But that's not the normal human instinct. You want to feel superior to someone else.
Yeah. Well, what would the world be like, though, if it was opposite? I'm going to ask each one of you, so start contemplating this, is that if the world was much different in that criteria was an inner criteria where you're just happy because you are here right now in the present moment giving and you know your sole purpose, and you could spell that S-O-U-L or S-O-L-E, your sole purpose was to give and make others happy, what would Earth look like? Let's start with Gary.
It would look heavenly. That's essentially what heaven is going to be like. You'd have heaven on Earth.
Nice. Krista?
I would agree. I think people would walk around with smiles all the time instead of having so much doom and gloom in their lives. It would just be a more positive environment for everyone.
It wouldn't be good for the Mercedes business, but anyway.
And it would be if Dave Ramsey found that your ratings were higher and was happy for you.
So. Yeah, exactly. You would always honor. I always said it's not about competition. It's about cooperation in business. I mean, wouldn't that be nice, too? If you promoted your competitors, that would be nice. Kevin, so how would you answer that?
Something else that we began to talk about was the difference between ambition and aspiration. Ambition is drawing things unto yourself, achieving things, where aspiration is breathing something into. And so if I aspire to be, I am going to pour myself into that. And I think what you're talking about is living a life of aspirations, breathing into our community and into our world and into need, rather than just continuing to draw stuff and people to massage our egos.
That makes sense, and that's a key word there is egos. And also what comes to mind is people, when you said need, it rhymes with greed. And I think greed has a real selfish connotation to it.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed, greed, need. Let's plant the seeds.
Needy, greedy.
Yeah, I wish it rhymed with Michael Crawford, because my friend Michael Crawford is on at 5:15, and he's all over this stuff. Have you ever heard Michael? He has a show here, I think it's 5:15 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday. He's a good guy, and he's very in tune to this. He really knows, and of course I met him when he was a guy in the commercial saying, I want to see you in a Kia. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a great quote about greed. The question is, how much did Howard Hughes leave when he died? Everything.
Everything.
Which is the same thing everybody else is going to leave. Everything.
That's a good point. You can't take it with you, right?
Yep, you can't.
I think that you should always practice here on Earth what it's going to be like after. Because after all, that's where, you know, hopefully you're going to end up and in an eternal way. So you might as well start practicing in this very fleeting moment here on Earth. Because it is fleeting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Very small.
Yeah. And if you don't, you know, if you don't like heaven here, you're not going to like it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the kingdom of God is within us, back to what you earlier said, I mean, we practice and we find that joy and that peace and that completeness here.
Yeah, and that's how it really should be. But I do think people set up criteria. I think people do it because that's what they learned when they were younger in a way. Because like I said, you know, going back to, you know, the media, you know, sell, sell, sell. It's all about the products. It's all about profits. And, you know, how did society get that way? What's your opinion? Let's go around the room again. Gary? How did society get that way? More greedy, more about money. I think they attach, I'll just give you my opinion, people attach money to saving or security, and that's a false sense of security because money can come and go like in an instant, right? Gary?
It's just the same as sports, being better than someone else. It doesn't matter how you get there or what you do as long as you feel superior to someone else.
Yeah. Krista?
I think people get confused and use it as a happiness. It makes them happy to have these materialistic items in life. And it's like food. If you're depressed, you're going to eat food. That's how I view.
And a good example, and Kevin, before we get to you, is that concept never works. Because look at someone named Elvis Presley, who apparently had everything that the society would say would make someone happy. He wasn't very happy, was he?
No, he wasn't.
I mean, isn't that's sort of sad, isn't it?
It's tragic. I mean, an extremely gifted, talented guy spent his life chasing illusions.
Yeah. And that, hey, that could
that's
be a song.
That's very well put.
And remember, I don't want to mispronounce her first name, Mrs. Marcos. She had like hundreds of pairs of shoes. How many pairs of shoes can you wear at one time?
Wow, I've tried on three at a time. No, I'm kidding. But you're right. It's insatiable society. And I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, people want to spend. I think it's by habit. People don't feel complete. You know, they said they're tired of the recession, so they're going to go out and spend. You know, it's just like, why? What is that motivation behind that? And it must be something about they're not feeling, you know, complete or feeling whole or something without buying something that they think will make them whole. That doesn't make sense, right, Kevin?
You know, I think you hit it right there, is looking for something to make you complete. We were, before we ever moved to here a long time ago, my wife and I lived up in northern Canada and up on some Cree and Ojibwe reservations. And, you know, again, in a totally different society, again, people would try to fill that incompleteness with other things. Single moms would have babies because they wanted to be loved, thinking, well, a baby will love me. Well, that's kind of an eye-opener after a little while, or sedating with one thing or another, trying to numb or trying to fill.
You know, you're right, and it brings up why society, sadly, has such a high divorce rate, too, in America. I don't know about other countries, however, it's really a self-centered approach. I think people want to be loved, and they forgot the other side of it, how to love. Isn't it? The prayer of St. Francis, remember that one? That was a good prayer. I don't have it here with me. But
make me an instrument of your peace?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's seek more to understand than to be understood or to.
Stephen Covey with that one, too. Yeah.
He wrote that one?
Yeah, I think, well, he's the one that's popularized it more.
Oh,
recently.
He did?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good prayer. For Gary, you remember that one?
Yeah, the best way to have a friend is to be one.
Yeah, it's all about that. And so maybe this is part of breakthrough thinking to look at things differently.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to get more of the same.
And really, that's what going to the Bible study every Friday morning does, is that Kevin provides a way to look at things differently, you know, as we talk about current events first and then the Bible for about 45 minutes. I always feel mentally refreshed when I leave. It's a wonderful feeling.
And that's every Friday?
Every Friday morning.
Yeah. And
come join us. I'll buy you breakfast. Wow. Munchies.
Hey, that's
just once, Kevin, for him. Just once.
Come on, I want to go. go at least twice. I mean, but that's awesome because you can't get a better offer than that. I mean, that's but the motivation in itself is just to learn different ways of thinking and perceiving. And I think that's the problem. That's why I like NLP. I don't know if anyone's really studied this here. Has anyone read any books? But it does teach you a way of looking at things outside the box, looking at things beyond the frame of society, and looking at ways to create a different set of criteria for what success really means.
Well, Kevin's wonderful quote about looking through the bars in jail and seeing stars. Look at Nelson Mandela was in jail for, 37 years? He kept seeing the stars, and eventually it became reality. How many of us could do that for 37, 38 years?
Amazing man.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is an example. And people have that power to focus where they want to focus. Is it what they don't want or what they truly want? And that's the secret, too. What is it people truly want? It's not the superficial things. It's what the things can give them. You don't buy a car just because you like some metal on wheels. It's what, either from an identity standpoint or it ultimately ends up, they think it's going to be happiness. But I say cut out the middleman. Just be happy. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion. I think a very profound discussion. I'm really proud of all you guys. This is good. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this topic. We'll talk about ambition versus aspiration and a whole bunch of set of criteria that society uses to make people feel happy.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Howdy, folks. This is Bob Lee with Savings Society. What if there's a way you could buy a gas card or a grocery gift card for $25 and get a second $25 card for free? Yes, folks, free. Would that interest you? Give us a call here at Savings Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and special guest co-host Krista Schmidt and Gary Sievers and special guest Kevin Hartke, who just won the Chandler City Council seat. I still think that's amazing. Now, of course, we had you on the show here before the election, and we were hoping you would win, and you did. We're proud of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the support from everywhere.
That is good. And then, Gary, weren't you at the celebration party?
I was the first time, the primary, which turned out because of the election, people vote for mayor, you got to get 50% plus one. So he's slightly short. And the runoff, I had to be somewhere else. So I went to the party where he didn't get elected and didn't go to the party where he did get elected. And after I went the first time and he didn't, he said, don't show up the second time. It's bad luck. So I didn't, and he won. So.
Wow.
Gary kept eating all the pizza rolls.
That's right. That's right. He said, you're costing me money. I got to save up for next election.
You probably missed all that good Italian food.
It was good the first time. It was very
good. Yeah. It's probably good the second time. Was it good the second time?
It was. Floridino's is one of my favorites.
Wow. I haven't been there, I don't
think.
Great
restaurant.
Where is that? What street?
It's in Chandler, obviously, at Alma School and Galveston.
Oh, Galveston. A great song by, what's his name?
Phoenix Guy.
Yeah, Glenn. Glenn Campbell. Remember
right.
that one?
True Grit.
Yeah.
And then he had something about. They're making a new movie of True Grit, a remake.
Jeff Bridges. Yeah.
He should probably be good.
Yeah. As the John Wayne character.
Here's a trivia question: who won the Academy Award for Best Actor in the year True Grit was?
John Wayne did. He beat out Dustin Hoffman and John Voight for Midnight Cowboy. Richard Burton for Anne of a Thousand Days, and Peter O'Toole for the remake of Goodbye, Mr. Chips, the musical. And
Gary, you're scaring me.
Yeah. I know, Rain Man.
What number am I thinking of? I mean, that's incredible.
That's
wow.
True.
How did but you know that?
Yeah.
Well, because I taught film classes at ASU and Scottsdale Community College and UCLA forever and ever.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
But that's true. You can look it up. I think it was 1969 when he won that.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. And I just love Dustin Hoffman. I think he's an amazing actor. And I was a little surprised. But I think, let's ask Gary. You're a film guy from UCLA, right?
Right.
Do you think they gave John Wayne that award because of his longevity? I mean, he paid his dues?
Because he survived cancer. For 5 years after making The Sons of Katie Elder in 65, they thought he wasn't going to make it. Wow. He'd only been nominated once before for The Sands of Iwo Jima. And when he won the Oscar, he got up. He actually wore an eye patch like John Ford, his longtime director, did. And the line he said when he accepted the Oscars, he said, "If I'd have known this eye patch would have won me an Oscar, I'd have started wearing this a long time ago."
Yeah.
And he got a big laugh for that.
Wow. But, yeah. I mean, he had a great career.
Yeah,
no
he did, yeah.
But
the
Dustin
Duke.
Hoffman. I mean,
he's owned a lot of property in Maricopa, around that city, and all sorts of places in Arizona.
They made a lot of movies. They were up in the Hotel San Marcos up in Flagstaff. They used to work in Arizona a lot. And, of course, Monument Valley. That's where he made all of the Fort Apache and all those other movies for John Ford. He loved to work in Fort Apache.
Wow. And then they named an airport after him.
In Orange County, yeah.
Yeah. It used to be called the Orange County Airport. Now it's the John Wayne Airport.
And you know what his real name was?
Yeah, John Wayne.
No.
Oh, Tom Hanks.
No, Marion Michael Morrison.
Well, I would
no wonder
my name,
changed
too.
It. Marion Michael Morrison after the great Jim Morrison on The Doors?
No. Oh. That's why Johnny Cash wrote the song A Boy Named Sue. You know? That's,
oh, is he
Marion. Marion. And his great nephew was Tommy Morrison, who played in Rocky V, played the, and was actually a boxer
right?
who actually beat George Foreman at one point.
Really?
Tommy Morrison.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't remember that.
He's still boxing now. He's close to 40, but... He
was Tommy
Morrison? He was in Rocky V. Yeah, he was the.
I remember that. The blonde
Tommy Gunn.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 20 years old.
Wow. He's the nephew of John Wayne?
A great nephew, yes.
Great. What
I
makes
think
him
we
so great?
We have trivia questions at Gary, either film or sports. He's amazing.
That's right.
Okay, how many.
I can't change a tire, though.
All right. Auto Club works. So let me ask you this then. Why did the rich. Well, let's see. Dustin Hoffman. How many Academy Awards has he won?
Two. He won for Kramer versus Kramer in 1979, and he also won for Rain Man in 1988.
Wow, and he should have won for Midnight Cowboy.
Right.
He was phenomenal on that.
They said Ratso Rizzo would be the first movie that people would remember him, and then also...
The Graduate.
The Rain Man would be the second one.
I love The Graduate. I thought that was good.
Oh, yeah, but he was essentially playing a young kid, and he was kind of naive in real life in some ways at that
point. Yeah, but speaking of Kramer versus Kramer, let's talk about that. My favorite actress is...
Meryl Streep,
who
won the Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, she was good.
Yeah.
One of the saddest movies I've ever seen was Sophie's Choice. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Remember when she had to make a decision between saving her son versus daughter? I mean, that's... I mean, I don't even like to think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even do that? And Kurt, our producer there, is like really like shivering now, and we'll have to get him on the air. So, but that brings up a point I wanted to make is what is it like, Kevin, to be a family man?
You know, I love my family. I've got fantastic kids, but I hope that every dad and every mom says the same. So, I mean, we ought to be the greatest cheerleaders of those and the greatest champions. And really, they are our legacy more than bridges or buildings. They're what we're going to leave. The future is a set of values and a set of standards. And hopefully, we're creating world changers that will change their world.
You know, that's well said. And, you know, I always thought that a lot of parents say, well, they're teaching their kids. I always thought you learn from your kids.
It's a two-way street.
It really is. And what have you learned from your kids?
Well, there's the obvious word, patience. You know that, but it seems like life always brings opportunity to learn that. But it is fascinating seeing the world, not living vicariously through our kids, but seeing the world through our kids' eyes, and re-exploring things that we have lost the luster and the wonder of, and watching them go through things, and it's fascinating. And I would much rather with my kids. I've always learned be a dad, don't try to be a friend. But it's when they all come together, it's really a sweet spot.
But is it hard to let go of your kids? A lot of parents view, you know, like from a possession standpoint, and it's really not possession, but it's more about the parent. But sometimes you have to let go and let people be who they're going to be.
I think so. We've got four different kids, and they're unique, every one of them. And we go with where they want to go and how can we help them get there. I don't know if any of them will ever go into the ministry or any will ever go into politics, but it really doesn't matter, as they will make their own mark.
It reminds me of another movie. Gary, you're going to know it. Bette Midler.
The Rose.
Yeah. Where she actually walked away from the wedding. Remember, she had this kid, and I thought it was a weird ending, actually. I go, why would she walk away? Oh, but you remember that?
I've got chills. This is
goosebumps.
That's a pretty good movie.
But, you know, when Kevin was talking about how family should be a priority, it goes back to the opening scene of Kramer versus Kramer, where Dustin Hoffman gets a promotion as an advertising agent. His boss is thrilled. He comes home and says, one of the five best days of my life. He says that to Meryl Streep. She says, Ted, here's the check to get your clothes. Here's this. Here's that. I'm leaving you. And he says, what are you doing this to me for? And she says, I'm ruining one of the five best days of your life.
Oh,
But the point being is he couldn't see that she and the son was the priority until she left. Then he saw it for what it was worth.
Interesting.
Too late. In one sense, too late.
How did that end up, by the way?
Well, it was a very interesting ending. She got they fought over the rights. That's the court case for about a half hour. She gets the total rights, and he gets visitation after spending $15,000. And at the end, she says, Ted, I realize that my son is already home when he's with you. He's bonded with you, so I'm going to leave him with you.
Oh.
And then she's going down the elevator, and she says, how do I look? And Dustin Hoffman says, gorgeous. And that's how it ends.
Really?
Yeah. So he gets the son, she gets the visiting rights, and that's probably
why did she win, though?
She won in court but lost in real life because he had bonded with the father over a period of years.
But why wouldn't the court see that?
Because they usually go in favor of the woman. That's what they said. Howard Duff played the lawyer. He says they went for the women, you know, as the mother usually
wins. In those
days,
they did.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, why do you have the chills, Krista?
Because he's freaking me out. You're asking him questions. You don't even finish your sentence, and he knows the answer.
I know. You would be great on one of these TV shows or something.
If I ever am on a game show with it, I need a lifeline.
Right?
I think, he's going to be my guy.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I used to go – well, I shouldn't even say that. They used to have either film or sports trivia contests where you could win a free lunch. I used to go, and they threw me out. So.
Oh,
they said, no more free lunch for you, dude.
But you don't get thrown out of brunch.
They thought I was like Rain Man, you know, where I was counting cards
See?
Or something.
You know? I told you.
Are you doing anything this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to Vegas.
Yeah, we're going to Vegas. Yeah. You know what? I told, this is an honest to goodness truth, I told this ASU grad that ASU was going to win by 21 points, and if they brought Brock Osweiler in early, it might be 28. 55-34. 21 points, and they were up 28 till UCLA got the last touchdown.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
that
was
good.
I was even freaked out by that.
Wow. I'm impressed. Kevin, you never thought you had someone on your hands that...
I'm learning more about him on this show than I've known of some other searches.
Wow.
I need him to read my palm later.
Yeah, let's see your palm. Oh, look at that.
My lifeline good?
You don't read palms, do you?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. So let's go back to the rose, and of course we're going to be on a break in a second, but that didn't make sense to me, though, where she pretty much left her kid thinking that that's what the kid wanted. I don't think that's what the kid wanted, right?
No.
Why was that? It's just dramatic theatrics?
Kevin counsels people in real life. He would probably have a better psychological evaluation.
Oh, did you see that movie?
I didn't see that movie, but I kids want to be with their parents.
And
they want their parents to make it. I mean, they don't want a farce in their home, but you know that I I think that's the best way to be the most adjusted. But obviously, we live in a maladjusted world, and the best doesn't happen all the times and places. But kids want that.
Yeah, yeah, I believe so, too. And it's tough on kids. They don't understand, and especially if parents use them as pawns against the other spouse, that could be sort of a problem there. And I think there was another movie. Gary, you're going to know. What movie that it was an amicable divorce?
Which movie was that? Well, it wasn't The War of the Roses.
No.
That was not an amicable divorce.
That was ridiculous.
Kramer versus Kramer almost had a poetic justice, happy ending. And it doesn't seem like it during the movie, especially the court case part, but it kind of does at the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. And when we come back from a break, we're going to ask the question and start thinking about this. How do you cure divorce? I have an answer. I hope everyone else does also. And we'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, certified financial planner and certified divorce financial analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, certified financial planner, 602-235-0336.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911. The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and Krista Schmidt, Gary Sievers, and our special guest, Kevin Hartke, who won recently the Chandler City Council. Wow, I've never talked to a real city councilman.
Today.
This is great.
I'm the only council member elect, actually. So.
Oh, that's how it works.
That's right. So but haven't talked to a real one.
But January 13th.
January 13th.
It will be official, no doubt about it. Now, as promised to the listeners and all the people in the studio, how do you cure divorce? I have an answer, and then I want to go around the room and see what your answers are. Mine is don't get married. Okay, I'm sort of curious. That's sort of a joke. Okay, I don't mean that, but I thought it was funny. Okay, so let's start with Gary, because you seem to really have great insight into movies. There's probably a movie that talks about curing divorce, maybe not, but how do you cure divorce? What do you do?
Most of our society is ready, fire, aim, and getting married, it's ready, aim, 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 wait, wait, wait,
and then make sure that you don't want to change the other person. I mean, that's a finished product.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, is there a movie that would demonstrate that or teach those lessons on divorce?
In other words, waiting a long time. Goodbye, yeah. Mr. Chips. He waited till he was almost dead before he married the other, Greer Garson, the teacher.
But it worked.
If you want to wait till you're retired from teaching and then marry the right person, yeah.
Is there any other movies? Let's think. Yeah,
ironically, from your old state, Jerry Brown got married at 65, didn't he?
Yeah.
Talk about waiting a long time.
Yeah, because he dated Linda Ronstadt for a while.
Yeah, right.
Didn't marry her.
Right, and he was governor from age 36 to 44, and now at 72 he's governor. He got married about 5-6 years ago.
This is scary. How does he know this? Wow, this is great.
Well, Terry Goddard, who ran for governor, got married late in life. He's in his 40s too. So I mean, some of these people wait a long time to find the right person.
And then Krista,
65 is a little.
And Krista,
longer.
Some people don't get married. Okay, won't say. But anyway, so Krista, what is your answer? How do you cure divorce? What is the answer to that?
I don't think there's any cure. Per se, I think the people need to really know each other. I think there needs to be a foundation of possibly religion, something that you can have as a bond. I like the word
I'm not a marriage counselor like Kevin is, but I used to go to Promise Keepers. This must have been 15 years ago, and the guy kept telling me he was going to marry this girl if she'd only change this and change that. And I finally said to him, this is the only marriage counseling advice I ever get. I said, find somebody you don't want to change. And he did, and married her, and I was at the wedding, and they're still happy.
Excellent. That's what a couple.
And I retired after that. I was one for one, I retired.
One for one. Yeah. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years.
Nice. Now, okay, Kevin, you are the pro here. You're a marriage counselor, right?
Oh, boy, this is tough.
So what do you tell your people? I mean, curing divorce, or is there sometimes divorce is inevitable? I don't know.
You know it might be, but I do have some thoughts on there. I did marry my best friend, and that was part of it. But I would say what I tell people is figure out what you are about. Figure out where you want to go and pursue that, and then see who's going in the same direction. You don't want to be the same. There is the sense of the spice of differences. But if you are going in entirely different directions, that's one clue. Another clue is be first to serve. You know, if marriage is built upon one person serving the other, however you define that, you're going to run into trouble. Trust is part of that. So that you don't have to always lord over whether a checkbook or use these little manipulation things to get what you want. You want to serve them. You want because you trust them and they're your best friend.
Yeah, I really like that. Be first to serve.
That's really good. I like that. People don't really think about that.
No, not at all. Now, what if you have a giver and a taker? That may not work, but it works when both people want to be first to serve, right?
Yeah, and I equate marriage to being a covenant, not a contract. A contract says that I'll do this if you do this. A covenant says that I will do this unconditionally. And if two people enter into a relationship that way, you really do have what we talked about earlier, heaven on earth.
I like that, Gary.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing about going slow. The first time I took my wife out, my soon-to-be wife, we courted for about 2 years. I was announcing a football game. And at halftime, she's a violinist. She says, why do those grown men keep dropping the ball? If they had violin training, they'd have better fine motor coordination. They wouldn't drop the ball. And then she took me for the next day to an orchestra concert. I'd never been to one before. She says, well, what do you think of that? And I said, well, I've never seen so many double chins in my life. you got to be very slow. I thought, this is not going to – she can't stand sports. I knew nothing about music. So we met in the middle. I know everything about music. She still doesn't go to sports.
Now, here's a quote from someone. And see who said this quote. Marriage is grand, but divorce is 100 grand.
I've heard that many, many times, and there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, it actually is. The court system and the attorneys. Actually, attorneys make out pretty well.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they
unfortunately.
Do.
Well, make out well using the criteria of money, which we don't like to use. Now, we have a new show. It debuted last month called Match, No Match. And we have a professional licensed counselor, Cynthia Hyatt. She's awesome.
Wow.
And I think she's also a minister. She's really cool. She has a great wisdom and insight. But no is spelled K-N-O-W. Match, no match. You like it?
Mm. Mm.
Very nice.
I created it. Okay, but it really makes sense. Know your match, and that's what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
yeah. I mean, how do you, if you don't know them, I mean, people just jump in way too quickly. What's up with that? It's in, like infatuation. That's not good, is it?
And I'm a big believer is take time to get to know each other. And as fewer secrets that are yet to be discovered in terms of the big deal breaker type things early, if you are morphing into someone in order to bag this mate, so to say, you can't sustain that. So you want to be who you are, and you've got to be loved for who you are, not who they want you to be.
You know, that totally makes sense. And society doesn't seem to teach that. It seems to me that people use short-term criteria hoping for a long-term relationship.
Well, it's again, substance. It's a substance issue like we've been talking about with other things. Is it form over substance in terms of what we are about as people?
But, you know, it's that instant gratification, you know, that creates that short-term. And some of the short-term criteria, I believe, are things like looks and things and money and, you know, things that really ultimately don't really mean anything.
Exactly.
And it's sad because, and I think that's one of the issue. So the real truth on cure for divorce might be to start looking at things differently, the substance like you talk about.
Well, here's one way of looking at things differently. There's some advantage to not being good looking because you have nothing to lose as you get older, as I found out.
I found that out.
And if people are attracted at a young age because of looks primarily or only, what's going to happen when they hit middle age, as we all do?
Called depression, probably.
That's right.
I married a woman who was ageless in her looks, so it was okay when we were both younger, but now people aren't asking me, thinking it's cute that I'm walking with my daughter, but it's going to look more and more that way.
Wow, that's sort of cool. Wow, how did you do that?
It's her genes. It's all her genes.
Does she have a sister? Okay. All right. All right.
You know, there's Botox, there's plastic surgery. You don't ever have to really age.
Oh, well.
Remember, Dave, it's ready, aim.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. So, wow, can you believe we're at the end of the show already? How fun was this?
It was
great. Great show.
This is good. We didn't know where it was going, but it went to substance, and that's how it should be. That is why it's called Breakthrough Thinking. And I want to thank you, Kevin Hartke, for being on today, and January 13th, I may just show up and see you officially a city councilor.
I'd be honored to have you there.
Congratulations.
I think that is really awesome. You're going to be a great leader. You're already a great leader. And Gary Sievers, always nice seeing you. Thank you.
Good to see you, Dave.
And Krista, you'll see Greg. I won't be on Friday for the
sports
show.
I will be here.
Make sure you're blasting all out on the Cardinals. No.
Yeah,
we'll love them, but we'll also say give some suggestions on what they can do.
So your prediction, what the score against St. Louis on Sunday, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I think it's 21-10 Rams.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I do.
You need a bodyguard on the way to your car.
Right? Yeah, yeah. But go Coyotes tonight.
Yes, Coyotes.
We love our Coyotes.
Since Bill is from St. Louis, before coming here, I wonder if he's got some bets with his the new home team.
Yeah,
since
that's
he's
right.
the former team.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before that, it was in Chicago.
Sure.
That's right. And everyone have a great week. Listen Friday, Breakthrough Sports. And thank you all for being here. And see you next Monday.